Good morning. Yeah. Our scripture this morning is somewhat startling, but it's extremely important that God wants us to hear it. We're going through the book of Revelation. Today we'll be in chapter 9, if you want to wander your way there before we get going. And interpreting symbols is one reason why this chapter 9 is considered the most difficult chapter in Revelation. Unlike other chapters where some of the symbols are actually explained, this chapter offers very few. It doesn't tell us a lot about them. We're going to see two frightening armies that are liberated at the right time and permitted to judge mankind. So if you found your way to chapter 9 of Revelation, we'll read the first two verses. We're in the trumpet judgments, by the way. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. All right. I saw a star. Now, he's not talking about the stars that we see in heaven. This is not a literal star, because he says, to him. So this star is a created being that he saw fallen from heaven. And that verb, fallen, in the Greek, the tense of it indicates it's past tense. It had already fallen. So we have to think, is what star or important created being has already fallen from heaven? He's probably talking about Lucifer. He was the highest, most important angel in heaven. And if we go back into Isaiah, around chapter 14, verse 12, Isaiah says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. You see, Lucifer thought he was a big shot. He was the top of the angels. He was the head worship leader. But he wasn't happy with that. He let his pride build him up so high, he says, I want to be like the Most High. I want to be like God. Isn't that what happened to Eve? What did the serpent say to Eve? You eat of the fruit, you will be like God. But now he's cast to the earth, and what does Peter tell us about him? All you can do is roam around like a roaring lion. You have no teeth, you have no bite, because Jesus on the cross took all that away. So don't let him take control of you, because he has no power now. Jesus took it all. We see something else in there. We see the bottomless pit. Literally, it's the pit of abyss, is what it literally is translated as. And it's a very terrible place. It's so bad that the demons that Jesus cast out of a man What did they say to Jesus? Don't throw us into the abyss. Let us go into these pigs instead. That's how bad it was. It's not the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the final prison for Satan and all who follow him. So it's not that. And Satan does not have free reign. He's given this key to the pit of torment, where the worst and the most dangerous of the demonic spirits are being held right now. And he can only use that key when God says, okay, open the... You can use it now, Satan. Now, I want you to picture this because it's very difficult. A vertical shaft. It's filled with fire and smoke and heat, and it's filled with darkness. You can't see anything in there. And it's full of demons, and they're falling and falling and falling. And they're waiting in fear of hitting the bottom of the pit that never comes. They fall forever. It's bottomless. And now Satan has the key to unlock the lid that keeps that shut, that keeps everybody in there that's in there. Somewhere on this earth, there's a lid that's going to be opened. And when that's opened, thick black smoke rushes out, covers the whole earth in darkness. You ever open your stove door without opening the damper? Yeah, I have. Not good, because all that smoke comes roaring out of the door. Well, that's what's going to happen here. So where's this lid? Is it deep inside the earth somewhere? Is it in some cave that nobody's discovered yet? Don't know. But that's not important. What John's telling us is what comes out of the smoke terrorizes mankind. Verse 3. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days, verse 6, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. That's kind of ironically, isn't it? Here, we don't want to die yet. It's human nature to cling to life and live as long as we can. And we're told in those days, they're going to want to die, but God won't let them. We have this army of locusts. What was the eighth plague in Egypt? Locusts, swarms of locusts that darken the sky, but only in Egypt, not in Goshen. So as soon as this door is opened up, and this dense column of smoke is pouring out as if it was coming from hell itself, locusts come upon the earth. They escape from the pit with the smoke. Now, this implies that they were in the pit with the smoke all this time, waiting. And as soon as the gate was open, everything in there just comes right out. Now, locusts, we know, are a emblem of destruction. They're not kind. And they weren't kind in Egypt's days. All they do is destruct stuff. The remarkable thing about a locust is they eat every green thing there is, and they leave the land totally waste. And it is not because they're hungry. They just do it. They're omnivorous. They'll eat meat, they'll eat plants, vegetables, clothing. They've eaten the varnish off of furniture just because it's there. But these are not normal locusts. Because locusts don't have a scorpion tail with a stinger in it. And these creatures will not eat the green vegetation. They're prohibited from it. Do not eat any green thing, it says. No tree, no grass. So I believe it is a demonic army that has given an assignment of tormenting everyone who has not been protected by the seal of God. Now, last week we saw about the 144,000 from will be sealed with God's seal. 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. They will escape this judgment. They will not be touched. And we know that many will come to Christ in the tribulation period and accept Jesus as their Lord. I think they also will be spared. Because if you look at Ephesians, it says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So everyone that accepts Christ during the tribulation period is going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I think they'll be spared from the locusts, not from being martyred. Now, if you study locusts, the normal lifespan of a locust is only 5 months. That's the length of time that this judgment will last. They will torture men 5 months, it says. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of earth have power. What's a scorpion? It's a spider, isn't it? It has 8 legs. It has 8 eyes. It has this jointed tail with a weapon in the end of it that it stings people with. It's one of the largest infectious insects there is. In Europe, they only grow about 4 inches long. But in tropical climates, they can grow to be 12 inches long. The thing is, their sting is not always fatal. When you're stung, the place becomes inflamed, and then it starts getting hardened and reddened. And then it gets painful in intervals, comes and goes. then chilly and cold, and then burning and hot. And then soon the pain gets a little bit higher and higher, and sweating starts, and shivering and trembling, and all your extremities start getting cold, and the groin swells up, and the hair stands on end. Skin feels like the sensation of being pricked with a pin all the time. Doesn't sound like fun. Because the Greek word torment means to torture. And if you look in the dictionary, my Oxford dictionary says it is the infliction of severe bodily pain. The implication here in Revelation is that no one would be spared from this torture unless they had God's seal. So we have to say, why this creature? Well, a human army could not possibly hunt out every single person on the earth to torture them. But God, in his wisdom, uses a swarm of possessed creatures continually pouring out of the pit with the smoke. Under his authority, they could do it. They could find every single person on earth that is not marked with God's seal. And I say that because Scripture does not say that the locusts ever stop coming out of the pit. As long as that lid's open, the smoke is pouring out, and so are the locusts. And they're going to sting people. And they're going to create so much pain in these people that they want to die. I bet some of them will try to commit suicide, and they still would not die. And now John describes in detail what they look like. Verse 7. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. That was their sole purpose. Now, I wonder what my wife, being an artist, how she would draw that picture. A scorpion with a human head and long hair like a woman, but the face of a man with breastplates of iron on and tails of stingers, and it's almost impossible to imagine. So I'm not even going to try to interpret that into modern warfare means, because I don't think it's a plane or a chopper or any of that. And I've seen some pretty fierce warfare choppers over there in Vietnam. Nothing compares to what John just described. They're grotesque demons that somewhat resemble a locust. But what adds to the terror of this attack is that everybody that dwells on the earth won't be able to see these demons coming. Because the black smoke and the reduced light from the fourth trumpet that darkened the sky and the stars and the moon. They're not going to see him coming. And all of a sudden, wham, you're going to get hit. And God allows, during this tribulation period, these spirits to possess a body of their design that's perfect to torment the unbelievers. Now, these are only unbelievers that are being tormented. Know that. And they had a king over them. Oh, verse 11. They had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. So this demonic money is going to have a king leading them. I have to admit, I am not totally positive who the king is. It could be Satan himself. Scripture says it's the angel of the abyss. Well, Satan's not in the abyss yet. He's the fallen star who has the key to open the pit. It may be just one of his top henchmen. I'm not positive. Abaddon, meaning destroying angel, and Apollyon means a destroyer. Now, we know Satan's a destroyer, but he's permitted to attack everybody that has not accepted Christ. That's Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter. And then we come to 12, which says one woe. That's one. That's the first woe. One woe is past. Still two more woes are coming. Now, I think the only reason that's inserted, that verse 12, is just to provide proof that Revelation is a sequence-orientated book. These trumpet woes don't overlap. You have one locust, 5 months. Then you have the other woe. Then you're going to have the third woe. They come in order. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. And so we have verse 13. It says, the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The sounding of the sixth trumpet seems to produce a voice coming from the horns of the altar. Well, the altar was before the throne of God, so most likely it's the voice of God speaking here. He's given instructions to this sixth angel to release the four angels that are bound up at the river Euphrates. Well, if they're bound up, I don't believe they're the same four angels that were in chapter 7 that were holding the wings. The winds at the four corners of the earth. Those were free angels. These are bound. Fallen angels are bound. They've been restrained. They've been kept ready for the exact day, month, year that God says go. God's timing for this whole seven-year tribulation is laid out for the exact hour, minute, second of everything happening, as it is in our lives. everything in our life, every sickness, every healing, every tribulation we go through, every nosebleed you got, every person you talk to during the day was planned out ahead of time by Him for His divine purpose. There's a reason we're going through Revelation right now today. It's for His purpose. And when these four angels are released, it says the earth is going to lose one-third of its population. Well, when the fourth seal, the horsemen with the death, they killed a fourth of the population. And now we're losing another third. And if you do the math on that, that's going to equal up to half the population of the earth at that time. How will this one-third die? He tells us. Now the number of the army of the horsemen, verse 16, was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus, I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the head of the horses was like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, which came out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. So this is not the locust. This is another judgment with horsemen and people riding on the horse. It's a supernatural army is what it is. Is it an army of men or is it an army of demons? If it's a natural army, then he's trying to describe some modernized mechanism of warfare, which I cannot even imagine. Or maybe it's like the locust. It's an army of demon monstrosities that God created. Because if John was trying to describe a tank, would he describe it as a horse with a rider on it? John knew what a horse was. He probably rode on a horse. This thing has a head at the head and a tail that's a head, is what he says. Yeah. Their tails are like serpents having heads. So it's a two-headed horse, one, a head at each end. With a lion-like head at the front and a serpent-like head at the tail. Draw that up for me for next week. But they're deadly. Doesn't matter. They're deadly and they're going to kill one-third of mankind. Not the riders. See, the emphasis is not on the rider or the horse. The emphasis is on the horse. I think it's another demonic army. They're all around today. They're all bound up somewhere waiting for the Lord to give them permission to act. Just like the lid on the bottomless pit. It's somewhere on the earth. we go to verse 20, as we're beginning to wind down a little bit. But the rest of mankind who were not killed. All right, so I guess everybody doesn't get killed. See, only one third. So, who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not relent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. These judgments is God. He's upholding his holy law. And he's vindicating, finally, the people that were under the altar, saying, how long, O Lord? You know the most frightening thing about this? It's not the judgments that God sends. The sins that men persist in committing, even while God is judging them with these torments, they still will not repent. They refuse to repent. Demon worship, which goes hand in hand with idolatry, will be leading everyone to sin. Oh, there'll be a great deal of religion at that time period, but it's a false religion. And it's happening today, right now. There are preachers out there that do not preach God's word. They have a different gospel. Open mind. New Age Church. Paul warns us in Galatians about that. He says, even if we, he says, or an angel from heaven comes down and preaches you any other gospel than you have heard what we preach to you, let him be cursed. Wow. You remember Bill Clinton when he was president? His wife Hillary brought witchcraft into the house, into the White House. She brought Jean Houston, who is a psychic spiritualist. It got national attention when the news media leaked that Jean Houston was where's the rest of my pages? Ah, there they are. And when she was leading Hillary Clinton in imaginary conversations with the dead, while her husband was in the room sitting by. Now, that word sorceries in verse 21, the Greek word is pharmakia, and we get our word pharmacy from that. It can also be interpreted magic, sorcery, or witchcraft. And the root word from a chaos, drugs. Spell-giving portions. It's also translated poisoner. If you read the police blotter, I read it every day. 70 to 80% of the items in the police blotter are related to drugs. Drug overdoses, selling drugs. witchcraft is the in thing to do today. It's I think Wicca is the fastest growing religion right now. Doctors, lawyers, military, they're all getting into it. Louis Lerner, who was the IRS agent, granted tax-exempt status in 10 days for a satanic school club, while Christian groups had to wait years to get their tax status. Till President Trump changed all that. But God is working out his plan. And neither the sins of mankind or the schemes of Satan are going to hinder him from accomplishing his will. Now, as I close out, I'm not going to pretend I totally understand everything that John is describing to us. Because it doesn't really matter if these are disfigured locusts possessed by demons, or are they humans in some bizarre war machine. It doesn't matter. Because Satan wants us to study the image and spend all our efforts on trying to figure out what they actually are, and distract ourselves to miss out on what John is actually saying through the vision. What John is saying is, on a given day in the future, God's wrath is going to come on the whole earth. And everyone who has not accepted Christ is going to be tormented through this tribulation period. You don't have to go through that. There's no place to hide, no place to escape. And the pain's going to be so intense that you're going to wish you were dead. And it will not come. So they will not be saved from the torture. And even after this is all over and death comes to the unbelievers, there's still no relief. Because there's deeper and more woes coming beyond the grave than there are before the grave. So, the question comes to me was, will there come a time when it's too late to be saved? Look at Isaiah again, 55, verse 6. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Does that imply there's going to be a time when he will not be found? Yes. When Judah was sinning against God and the prophet Jeremiah was telling them to repent and they wouldn't listen to him, finally the Lord said to Jeremiah, "I'm going to cast them out of my sight." And he told Jeremiah, "Do not pray for this people. I will not hear you." So if anybody has the slightest doubt that you're not saved, don't wait. Accept Christ today, and you will avoid all this torment. Lord Jesus, I know this is horrific information that you're giving us, but you're spreading it out there so that none will go through it. All they have to do is come to you and be saved. And so with that, anyone that does not know you, Lord, bring them to you right now. Accept you as your Lord and Savior. And then strengthen them and gift them to spread the good news to others. And that will be the snowball rolling down the hill of salvation rather than torture. So I thank you today for the words that you have so boldly brought out before us. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen.